have been in a study on kingdom culture. Kingdom culture. What is it like to be in the culture of God? If he's the king and the king's character nature is expressed through the kingdom, the king's domain, what is it like to be in the culture of those whom he calls his children? And we've gone through many weeks of what that kingdom culture is like, a kingdom of new creation, a kingdom of family, a kingdom of self-sacrifice, a kingdom of joy, and on and on. And today, God spoke to us through his word and through a tongue and interpretation about hope, and that is today's word, is it is a culture of hope. No mistake there, eh? If you've got ears, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying. And so today is what? May 16th? A culture of hope. And so hope, when you talk about hope, it's obviously something that we have right now. You know, if you think of a definition of hope, I'm not going to give you a Merriam-Webster definition of hope. As a matter of fact, I'm going to just read some scriptures and let the scripture pour over us to give us a feel of what God would have us to know about hope. But it's obviously something we have now, but it's an expectation of the future or a future expectation, and it's a good future expectation. It is a glass half full expectation, not a glass half empty. It's optimistic. It's not pessimistic. And the reason is not because we choose to just be that way. It's because the one who created all things and the one who gives us our theology and our doctrine and our teaching and our eschatology and our future tells us it is good. And therefore we have hope. And so let these scriptures just begin to paint a picture for you as we listen to them. I'm going to go back to our foundational scriptures first that we've had for this series, just to remind you, because I haven't used them in many weeks just for the sake of time, but I want to go back to them, and it's in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, and Matthew 5, 14 through 16. In Isaiah chapter 60, says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The world needs light. Much of the world, part of the world, spheres of the world, geographical locations are in darkness and they need light. Where is that light going to come from? Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness over the people, but God will arise upon who? You, and his glory will be seen on who? You, and the nations shall come to whose light? Your light, and the kings of the brightness of your rising. So, in the Old Testament, God says, my light is coming, and guess what that light is? It's me coming to you to light you up so that you can light up the world. That's what that scripture says. And so now we jump to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and Jesus makes it very plain, and he says, you are the light of the world. Kingdom culture. You are the light of the world. You are the culture of our lives, individually and corporately, is we are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill that cannot be hid. Doesn't matter how you feel about that, that's the truth. Your light. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. So your good works are light. And those good works will glorify your Father who is in heaven. And now I want to transition to these scriptures. If you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. I just want these scriptures to paint a picture for you of hope And then we're going to look at three areas of hope that God speaks to us out of his word. This is Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope, this is Paul's end of his letter to the Romans, and this is almost his conclusion. He says, may the God of hope, what's he a God of? Are you hearing it? Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Colossians 1:27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Habakkuk 2:14, is this hope? Is this an optimistic future? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Romans 5:2-5. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and that endurance produces character, and that character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, or hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. Is he painting a picture of hope for you? Romans 8:24-25. For in this hope we are saved, that hope that is seen is not hope. But we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Proverbs 10:28. The hope of the righteous brings joy. Titus 2:13. We are waiting for the blessed hope, our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, as though about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who don't have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And then lastly, Hebrews 6:17-19. For we know by these two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have fled for refuge, we might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the holy place behind the curtain. Hope is all those things and more. And so if there is a community, if there is a family, if there is a group of people who gather that should be full of hope, it should be the body of Christ. It should be us. What's going on in the world right now? There's missiles flying out of the Gaza Strip, and they're being shot off. Do you ever see the video of them? They do this. I guess those are cheap missiles. They still bring destruction, but if you compare it to a cruise missile or a smart missile that goes with a laser, but anyway, there's missiles being shot off by one group of people to harm another group of people. We're separated from that by thousands of miles. And so we don't hear the bombs going off. We don't see the devastation like that, like they're looking at. And then the response of the people who are being bombed, then what do? They go and then they bring a measure of retaliation to the people who send the bombs. And then it's just an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, or it escalates to something even bigger. And then the whole world, and we're presently still in our corona situation, and you hear all these different voices out there speaking to you about what that means and how you should act and how you should think and what it means for you as an individual and your family and your community and your nation and the world. And then there's coming up on May 26th, I took a picture of it on my phone, and the astronomers tell us that there is coming a blood moon on May 26th. And the reason I took a snapshot, a screenshot of that is because I'm going to send out soon, this is your daily reminder that this has absolutely nothing to do with Bible prophecy and Matthew 24. And so when you look at these, just these three that I mentioned, there is a temptation to begin to speak about anti-hope. There's a temptation to speak about devastation, and there's a worldview and an eschatology that some bring from the scriptures that doesn't sound like there's hope at all. That there's going to be mass devastation. There's going to be blood as high as a horse's bridle. And so you can get on Facebook and you can hear the contemporary prophets espouse their eschatology and what that means. You can hear people say, it's time, you better get right with God. Because if you don't get right with him now, you're going to get on the short end of a God wrath stick. Messages full of hope. A gospel that Jesus, the very word gospel means the good, glad, merry news that makes a man jump for joy. If there's ever a people, a community, a culture that should be sharing hope, it is the body of Jesus Christ. And so the three things I'd like to touch on today in the next 20 to 60 minutes. I just happened to mention to Ray that a couple days ago that they announced the Penguins schedule. And I said they're playing Sunday at noon. And he went like this. Yes, that means a short service this Sunday. And then I said it to somebody else. Was it you, JJ? I said the same thing to JJ, and he said, oh, it's going to be one of those short services. Now, is that really how you feel that I do? Or is that a joke? I need to know. All right. All right. So 3 points of hope for us today. And I trust you'll hear them. They build on one another too. I have them listed 1, 2, 3, and I had to switch them so they would build on one another better. But the first one is this, is God gives us a hope for transformation, personal transformation, however you want to word that, transformation. We looked at the scripture already, Colossians 1:27. It says that the mystery among the Gentiles is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We always do this in our Western mindset when we hear he's the hope of glory. We translate and say, Jesus in me is the hope of heaven. That's what we do. We take everything in our Western mindset and we put it into heaven or hell. That Jesus in me is my hope, that is I make it into heaven. And what this is talking about, as many other scriptures, is glory, and taught on this many times, but what is glory when the scripture talks about glory? Weight, it's weightiness, but what is the weight? What is glory? When Moses said, show me your glory, what did he want to see? Did he want to see weight? Who said essence? Who said essence? Right, it's the essence of God, it's who he is. So when we know that the glory of God, which the root means weight, it is the weightiness of the essence of God himself, his character and his nature. So when Moses in Exodus 33 said, Lord, show me your glory, what did God show him? He said, oh, I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock. I don't want to give you too much of me because you just can't handle me. Is that how God said it? I'm all that. Sorry, Moses, you can't handle all of me. Was that how we know God to be? Now, why did God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and only show him a little bit? For Moses' benefit. Yeah, you know how we do in our prayer time? Oh, God, show me all of you. Give me all of you, I can take it. No, we can't. And so in God's mercy, he put Moses in the cleft of the rock, and he put his hand out, and then when he passed by, he removed his hand, and then what did Moses hear? Jehovah, Jehovah, this is God's essence. This is who God is. When he met Moses at the burning bush, what did he say? I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? He didn't say, I am the God of wrath. I'm Thor. Here's my hammer. Of all the ways God can have introduced himself, he introduces himself to Moses, who never met him, by the way. The first introduction, remember Jesus' first introduction miracle? Water into wine. This is God's introduction to Moses. I'm the God of your fathers. I'm a covenant keeper. I make promises to them and I keep them. And you're going to help fulfill that promise, Moses. And now he passes by him and this is what God reveals. He could have revealed anything. He says, I'm a God merciful and gracious. I'm slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Keeping loving kindness for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. And I will by no means clear the guilty because he's just. I also visit iniquity on children and their children's children unto the third and fourth generation. So he keeps loving kindness for thousands. It's another version says 1,000 generations. He could have revealed himself in any way. This is the essence. This is who he is. So let's go back to Colossians now. Colossians 1, 27. Christ in you, this is the hope now, the hope of transformation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what did we just find out that glory is? It is the essence of God. It's who he is. And so as a worshiper of God, don't you desire to be more like him and less like you? And so Christ in you, God gave you the Holy Spirit, and he who started a good work in you, guess what he's going to do? He's going to complete it. You are his workmanship. You are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so what Paul is telling the Colossians here and telling us is that because Christ is in you, that is your hope of being like God, being made in the image and the essence of God. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are what? And all things are becoming new. And in Colossians says we are being made new. We're being made into that likeness, into the image of God. 2 Corinthians says this, we behold him with unveiled face, referencing back to Moses who veiled his face because his shine was leaving and he didn't want anyone to know. And so we behold with unveiled face and we're being changed into that very likeness. Peter says he's given us great and precious promises that by these we are partakers of his divine nature. Guess what? Your hope and the cry of your heart to be more like Jesus. The hope is Jesus. And he says it's happening. Your body's dying, but your inner man is being made new every day. You're being made more and more like the light. Arise and shine. Okay, we're building on this. Arise and shine, for your light has come. You've been transformed. Holy Spirit given to you. You're being transformed into a greater reflection of his image each and every day. That is the hope of glory. And so we are being made into his likeness. That is the hope of transformation. Is that good news? And what do we focus on? What is the temptation of what we focus on? Our stupidity, our weakness, where we lack. But if you would, the very proof, the very evidence that God is in your life is that you can look back, not just yesterday, not just 40 minutes ago, not just a week ago, not just a year ago, but you can look back and you can see him making the masterpiece of himself in you. And the fruit of his essence, the fruit of the Spirit, the manifestation of that in your love, your life is what? Love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And these things are growing in you. And that is the hope of glory. And so the first one is that we have a hope for transformation. The second one is a hope for a transformed world. A hope for a transformed world. We read this too, Habakkuk 2:14. What did it say? And the knowledge, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now you might be thinking, yeah, when he comes back and he cleans everything up. But what if his agenda, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying. What if his agenda, since you're the light of the world and you have the knowledge of God, what if his agenda is that we as the church are the ones that are going to bring the knowledge of the Lord over the earth like the waters cover the seas? What if that is God's agenda? Do we see that anywhere else in the Word? Do we see that anywhere else described? Is there possibly a hope for the earth itself in that we're not just waiting for a place called heaven? Does the scripture actually reveal that God wants the earth transformed, and how will he do it? Through the light of his people? Is it really there? What is the hope of the gospel? Is it heaven? But what if the gospel gives us a hope for a new transformed world, a new transformed culture and communities, a new creation and society on earth right now? What if that's the plan and we're missing it? Have we lost hope as we see missiles flying? Have we lost hope because of a virus? Have we lost hope because of war? Have we lost hope because of famine? Have we lost hope because people don't want to listen to us? Can God fulfill his word that he said to his disciples when Jesus said this? Upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I wonder if Jesus meant that. I wonder if Jesus didn't understand the book of Revelation. I wonder if Jesus didn't understand eschatology. I wonder if Jesus didn't know what he meant when in Matthew 24 he talked about all this stuff about sun not shining and moons turning into blood and stars falling from the sky. Didn't he, what in the world was he thinking about when he said, my church is going to pummel the gates of hell? What was he thinking about? He was obviously deluded, because we can see the world we live in, Jesus. Or is he waiting for his people to understand that there's a hope for this earth right now because you're in it? This scripture just blew up in my spirit this past week. Are you ready for it? I mean, what an intro, Jess. Talk about building hype. Matthew 5, I think it's 5. Ready? Blessed are the meek. Finish it. Let's say it again. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the... What are they inheriting? Oh, but we don't want the earth. Thanks for the invitation. Thanks for the offer, but we want heaven. We want to fly away. We look and we say, oh, things are getting so bad. Things are, I mean, this is what he talked about. I mean, let me throw a bunch of scriptures at you and tell you this is it. If this isn't what Jesus was talking about, I don't know what is. Pack your bags. We're going to heaven. And he says, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Oh, well, maybe he means the new earth that's coming. Is that what he meant? Let's see. Let's start from the beginning in Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up on the mountainside and sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of... Oh, he is talking about heaven. No, he's not. He's saying those who are poor in spirit will see the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of Christ, and the kingdom of the gospel is all meaning his kingdom, his kingdom. It is the vision of Daniel that he's talking about. When they hear this, they understand of what he's saying. In the vision of Daniel, there's the statue, right? And what happens? The stone cut without hands comes and hits the bottom of the statue. It turns into dust. Please hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And that little stone turns into a mountain and fills the earth. And guess when that stone came in the Roman Empire? That stone was Jesus. And then Jesus said, now I go to the Father so that I can pour out to you the Holy Spirit. So that when my Holy Spirit fills you, you will be my witnesses. You will be my expression. You will be my light in the world to give people hope that the kingdom has come and that the new creation has come and that I have overcome the world. And to prove to you that I've done it is that I'm going to die. And since the grave can't hold God, I'm going to come up and I'm going to rise again on the third day. And while I'm gone, by the way, I'm going to go into the lower parts of the earth and I am going to take captivity captive and I'm going to lead a parade out of hell of all the people. And I'm going to arise and I'm going to sit at the right hand of my Father, which declares me as the one and only Son of God, the one who has all authority in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and tell this wonderful news of hope. You're free. You're forgiven. You're accepted. God was in Christ. Well, okay, Jesus, he's the one who, I love Jesus, but that Father, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Jesus isn't your buffer to the Father who you just sang about, who is so good. He's the one who came to represent the Father's love. And to join our suffering, our choice of rebellion. Is there hope for the world? There sure is. You're the hope of the world. Christ in you is that hope. What does the scripture say about this earth and those who are on it? Psalm 96, 11 through 13. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all that fills it, let the field exult and everything in it. And the trees and the forests are going to sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes, and he comes to judge the earth. Uh-oh, there it is. He's going to judge. And he will judge the world in righteousness and his people. Judge, we automatically think negative, judge. No, let me tell you something. If you go before a judge and you're the one who's been offended and you're the one who's been wronged, when that judge makes a judgment, you're happy. You're glad. And the judge is going to make everything right. Judgment isn't a bad thing. Judgment isn't wrath. Judgment. Think of the elderly woman who was wronged and taken advantage of, who was scammed on the phone or was taken advantage of by a used car salesman. When the judge makes that verdict, he makes everything right again. And that woman goes away rejoicing. Isn't that what we want for the earth? Does God really care about economies? Does God really care if people have jobs? Well, no, when we go to heaven, we aren't working, aren't we? You have a misunderstanding. Adam did work before the fall. He did. Jesus says to one man, he says, oh, you were faithful over five cities. Now enter into your joy. Here's five more. Manage those. Can I take a vacation? Coming from me, that probably doesn't carry much weight, does it? Still the truth. Can I speak the truth, even if it doesn't apply to myself? Say it louder. Amen. Yeah, it's true. Truth don't care about your feelings. Does God care about families? Right now, does he care about families? Or are we on this road to destruction? God's like, well, who cares? Or does God really care about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers? Because daddy, you're such a key. Mom, you're so important. You are. You're just as important. But dad, you're such a key. And the reason you're such a key is because there's something God put in us that looks up to our daddies. In a way that we can't understand. Because if a child is just running away from home and they're trying to get away from the thumb they've been under for all their lives, but if daddy was a place, if daddy was a heart, if daddy expressed the love of God, if daddy expressed a place called home, if daddy showed what it was like to not only give godly discipline, but also say, I'm sorry. If daddy knew how to love, the home would be a place of peace. So is God interested in families, proper relationship, freedom? Does he care about affordable housing? Does he care about crime rate? Does he care about the homicide rate in your city? Does he care about the devastation of drug addiction, the horrors and the dehumanization of sex trafficking? Does he care about the hungry? Does he care about the homeless, the thirsty, the poorly clothed, the imprisoned? Does he care about Jericho Road victims? Does God care about how we, sorry about this one, treat the planet? He does. He cares about its resources. He cares about the animals that he created. Does he care about streets filled with darkness and endless opportunities for evil? You bet he does. And guess who he's waiting on to shine? Guess who he's waiting on to bring his image to these areas of darkness and suffering and pain? Because God enters into our suffering. That's what the cross is. He enters into our suffering and he says, follow me. And so is there hope for the earth? There sure is. And it's his church that are meek and they're going to inherit the earth. And the end of Revelation doesn't close with us leaving earth to go to heaven, but God's city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven to earth to eternally dwell on this earth, which has always been his desire. Oh, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, he could have said anything. And this is what he said. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Be an answer to the Lord's prayer, his desire. And so every day, your little, your big expressions of kingdom make a difference. They really do. Your little acts of kindness, your smile, your helping hand, your helping with the poor, your helping with the laundry. You're building something with your hands. You're restoring and reconciling a relationship. You're making the world a better place. You played a part in the kingdom of this world becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior. What is he waiting for? He's waiting for us. And so there is hope for this world. There is hope for this earth, and it is the church. And then lastly, there's hope for total restoration. Not quite sure how it happens, but God has it in control. Titus 2:13 talks about the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There needs to be a time, sometime in the future. I don't know if that future is in 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, or 100,000 years, but there needs to be a time when death, hell, and the grave are overcome. And so we're going to close with the reading of Revelation 21, 1 through 4. A hope for total restoration. God's word to you today was, don't give up. Don't give in. No one's making light of your suffering and your circumstance. He's not saying get over it. He's saying I'm with you in it. And it's not the end. You win. God tells you, you win. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. And the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. What is this city coming down? What is this? Started as a garden and now is a thriving metropolis. Made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the church. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, the throne, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he shall wipe away, talk about hope, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the first things are passed away. We serve a God of hope, and we are a culture of hope. And so may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound to you in hope. Father, we thank you for these realities we've heard this morning. And Lord, you know better than anybody that we all filter that through our own lenses. We filter that through our own ideas and mindsets and our own theologies and doctrines and eschatologies and circumstances. And we filter it all. But this one thing is true. We sang it today. We know it's true. You are good. You are good. You are good. And that you tell us there is hope, that means it's true because you do not lie. And we thank you that we can look with eyes that are filtered through your eyes. And you say things like, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you, show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Ask me, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be opened. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For we know that God is working all things together for good. Thank you, Father. I know my plan I have for you, plan of welfare, not of calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So like we started the service, just continue as you walk through your day in the light of his grace and let him transform you. And then as he transforms you into his image and his essence, you then become a transformer. And you are now part of the ministry of reconciliation, where he's calling those who don't know him through you. And then know there is the blessed hope. One day, the sky will be rolled back like a scroll. One day there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and he will wipe away every tear. Thank you, Father. We just speak that truth and blessing over one another. We say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.